Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 30th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network, or you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we're reading in our Bible, pick up where we left off last week. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 we'll be reading today, being read by Alexander Scorby. Hang on a second, let me get this up. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
Okay, Jan, do we have any announcements or any questions?
We do.
Hey, by the way, before we get started, did LJ make contact with you, and have you been able to exchange some information he needs to take control of X, which was Twitter, and some other social places?
I can't understand what you're saying tonight, John.
Did LJ get a guy named LJ? We spoke, I think, about 2 weeks ago. He was on our page here, and
right.
Him and I had some good conversations prior, but he's got a lot of background in going out into some of these social places, and we don't have anyone really up there representing us, but we got to get the keys to all these places, and he's going to start getting our message out through, Twitter, which is now called X, and some other places. We talked about three or four different places that he can go out and get information out to.
Okay.
Anyway, did he make contact with you, a guy named LJ?
He just joined, John, if you want to unmute him and see.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that before we move on. Let me unmute LJ. LJ.
Hey, John. Yeah, I got just the very tail end of what you're saying, but I think I
have an idea. Yeah, Jan, I sent Jan an email, and he forwarded a my email asking, who was it? I think it may. I'm seeing Terry. I think it was Terry, and as of today, I haven't heard anything back yet.
Okay, so Terry may have the keys or the knowledge of access into those things. Terry, are you familiar with that? You know what he's talking
about? Yeah, I am familiar. I used to have them, but I did not see his message. So apparently, you know.
When you get the time, try to connect with him because
you
try to pick up on their social medias. It's really going to, not media, but social whatever rooms.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, whatever they want to call it. I don't know. I call it getting ill, in my opinion. Psychological damage. Anyway, although there's some good stuff on there, you know. All right, so anyway, make contact. If you need any more information, obviously you have LJ's email, and maybe he left his phone number too. Maybe you should get and talk a little bit, okay?
Okay.
All right, I guess he's been muted. Okay, anybody wants to get into the queue? The queue is open. Jan, what do we have? Do we have announcements first or just
questions? You know, we mentioned the Police State movie by Dinesh D'Souza last week. And it played last Monday and last Wednesday, and then they had a live stream on Friday. Now that has been moved. You can see it at three different places. One is free. It's on YouTube, and you can live stream it on Rumble, and those two links are in the newsletter. Or if you would like to have a copy of DVD of the film, that's available for $24.99 and $5 shipping. So you have three different ways that you can get the information. Now think what we could do. We've got almost 11,000 members.
What keyword might we want to put in to try to find this on YouTube?
It's already a link in the newsletter, John. All you have to do is look in the newsletter. But you can also search for Police State. It should come right up.
Okay.
If you want to do the roundabout way. Yeah.
But go ahead.
Now we have around 11,000 members. You think what we could do if we could get all of them to watch this in one form or another and then communicate what they learned to their relatives, their friends, their acquaintances, their business people that they work with, and have them do the same, and also put it on the internet. That would, I think, go a long ways towards enlightening an awful lot of people that need to be enlightened. But I guess maybe it's wishful thinking, I don't know. It would be wonderful that if that could happen. That's why I put all of the links in the newsletter at the very top of the newsletter. So hopefully you will watch it in one form or another. You can watch it free, which really amazes me, because the people that put it on YouTube are the movie company that made the movie for Dinesh. And yet Dinesh is selling both the live stream and the DVD. So if you'd like to support Dinesh for his work, you can go to the live stream or the DVD. Or if you just like to watch it for nothing, go to YouTube.
Okay, yeah, it turns up real quick on Rumble if you just put in Police State once you get to Rumble's page. So, okay.
Okay, now we have three or four questions for tonight. The first one is, a subject of discussion that is circulating quite often is martial law. We know about the writ of habeas corpus being suspended during rebellion or insurrection, but where does it say in the Constitution that our unalienable rights protected under the Bill of Rights are suspended? Do you think that this might be an occasion for abuse in having a runaway domestic military patrol? How can the people have a say in this if we face oppression?
Well, I don't think it's going to end up that way. I think it may end up in a different way. Look what happened in Israel. Don't think it can't happen here. We have probably a million, at least hundreds of thousands of terrorists in our country right now that have come through the border over the past couple of years. And even before that, they've been coming in for quite some time. And I know the last year, I think it was 2020, There was a report, if I recall, it was 2020, there was a report that they stopped 35,000 potential terrorists coming into this country at the border. And so if they stopped 35,000, how many got through? How many are in here then? I mean, they literally have, what, the National Guard down at the border, right, helping people coming into the country. So, I mean, that's where we're at. We're in a big trouble. I do know and believe, I wouldn't say I know, but I believe, that we know where all these people are at. You know, they're receiving money every month. They're getting free room and board, at least for a period of time. They're being shipped out into cities. So they got this card that I'm sure that they have money on, and they got a phone, I'm sure, for contact, because they got to organize some way. And I'm sure our military is on top of that. I do believe that if we do go into a martial law setting, which probably could be in some cities, particularly Democrat cities, then it'll be something for the good and not for the bad. I wouldn't see it in a bad way, you know. If I looked at this 6-8 years ago, different story. My thought was lock and load, because we're in trouble if that happened. But I think it's a turnaround thing at this point, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. We already are in World War III. If people don't realize that yet, you know, just open your eyes and look around. Listen to what's going on. I mean, this guy, is, you know, Biden is sending all this money out out there to go up against Russia with Ukraine and other things that's being supported. I heard there are 4,000, I'm not sure exactly if I recall, I think they were special forces, I don't remember, but... No, it was National Guard. 4,000 National Guard is being prepared to head out there to deal with potentially what's going on in Israel. You got two carriers out there in the Middle East. Things are brewing. We're in the beginning of World War III, and it's going to explode. We're going to enter World War III. Something crazy is going to happen. Could even be a nuclear blast somewhere, or at least a missile fired, maybe hopefully cut off in over the sea or something. Who knows what's going to happen? But things are going to happen. People better get ready for it. The unfortunate thing is this has to happen. There's no way to get around it. Because I notice here, you know, myself working with National Liberty Alliance for all these years, looking at the membership, looking at the people involved, looking at the people who are actually doing something, it's pitiful, to be honest. I don't know what other word. You know, we've got 11,000 members, and you know, everything really is just a few people activating. We only got like 160 committees of safety in route of going. Some of them are already going astray with weird ideas, strange ideas. We put together a plan that should be followed to the letter, at least to the organizing point. I mean, once they get organized and deal with their sheriff, deal with their paperwork, which is the things we want to teach them, understand the law, learn civics, learn the Constitution. I mean, really learn the Constitution. You need at least one person in every committee of safety that knows the law. So hopefully at least one person in every committee of safety takes the law course, and they become an advisor to the whole committee. And two or three or four more is even better, of course. I mean, NLA will always be here to give advice, but you know, anybody who wants some advice. But we're not going to stick our nose into people's business. But let me tell you, we have a plan. And when people come in and, you know, start changing that plan, they should at least come and talk about it. Maybe they do have a better idea. Maybe people might want to go a different route this way or that way. That's fine. But the thing is, the way to get what we need, and that is membership on the committees of safety, to build your committees of safety, the best way to do that is to deal with the most serious problem we as a people have, and that is to save our children. Our children are being demoralized, sexualized, they're being totally destroyed. We've lost generations. We have generations of children in school right now potentially can be saved by we the people. Something needs to be done, okay? And someone's not muted, and we're getting some background noise in there. But anyway, something needs to be done. So the best way to build your membership is to deal with the school districts, okay, to go in. Before you deal with the school districts, though, you have to deal with you get your paperwork together. You got to get to connect with your sheriff. You got to get your sheriff on board, and then you want to deal with each one of the different school districts. I think I talked about this a little last week or the week before. My county, I think, has 13 school districts in it, just one county, and I forget how many university and colleges. So it's quite a few. And every time you go and visit a school district and prepare for that with a meeting with the people in that school district, you're going to grow your membership literally 50, 100, just every time you do that. Okay, and that's what we need. Many hands make light work. But people, you know, some people that are doing the committees of safety, they're kind of going to the left field or something. People pick up this information and they run with it. And if they don't share the educational part with other people, and then they kind of go off base. And that's a problem. We have to all be on the same page. Every county has their own problem, and you have to deal with your own problems. But we all have problems that are connected to each other. We have a school problem, and that's connected to every county in America. And it's a huge problem. We need to do something about it. We need to talk about it. Matter of fact, next week we're going to have our second meeting for Committee of Safety Leadership, and anybody who wants to come, wants to join, should come. Everyone should come. And if I was, getting the Committee of Safety going here or there, you'd want to try to invite everybody in that Committee of Safety. Hey, come to that Monday night meeting. Let's find out what needs to be done. Let's get educated. Let's talk about the different issues. Let's find different solutions. Let's get educated. So that's what we need to be doing. So this is why, war is necessary. We've already had this pandemic, which you would think would waken enough people up. I'm hearing that probably about 60% of the people are woken up. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I'm hearing. I've heard higher numbers, but I'll go with the 60. But we have to get, I forget who said this, it could have been through Q, it could have been through some other place, I don't know. But we really have to get about 80% of the people woken up before really anything can happen. Because the people will misunderstand what's going on, and it's important. And for that reason, until those people are woken up, things are going to get worse. How bad, no one knows. But we are in a bad situation here. I've been listening to this guy, Colonel what was his name? Matter of fact, I have his page open here somewhere. Hang on a sec.
McInerney,
I believe that's it, yes. And is this it? Yeah, this is it. Anyway, McGregor, not McInerney, Douglas McGregor. I've been seeing him all over the place. Really, he's the first guy that really lays out the real serious problems we have. And the bottom line is, America is going to have a problem trying to win any war if they had to get into a war. And it's the last thing we need. And it'll hit our land. If we get into a war, we're going to look in places are going to be looking like it looks in Israel right now. So people have to wake up. And a lot of people seem to be frightened to step up and do something. Well, that's what happened in Germany. People were frightened until they came for them, It's not that it's just the Jews they came for. They came for others, but the Jews were the first movement, And there's that old saying, I watched and I did nothing, and then they came for me. Well, let me tell you, the only way to stop this is to step up. The only way to get the least amount of violence to your surroundings, your home, your yourself, to get the least is to step up now and do something now. We have to organize, and we have to do what we have to do. I think we might see some martial law in certain cities at certain times if violence breaks out. I think there's way, way too many potential terrorists in this country right now. That's going to make it, real simple and minimum fighting. Who knows what's going to happen. But we can only trust it. But I don't see it as a threat to us. Like I said, 6 or 8 years ago, it would have, in my opinion, would have been a threat, danger, because you think they were really trying to take our guns and do what they have to do to bring in their New World Order. All right, next question.
In the book entitled The Federal Mafia, in PDF form on your website, page 154 describes the process in which to stop one's employer from withholding taxes from one's paycheck. It mentions section 3402N and the W-4 exemption certificate. My question is, in practice, Is this information still accurate and successful in procuring that outcome?
Well, it's never been successful, in my opinion. The information is still accurate. They don't care because they'll do whatever they want. They'll change the law right there in your case. They're destructive people. It's always a federal case, and the feds are the most destructive, in my opinion, as far as judges are concerned. So I would not, if I was working for somebody and wanted to stop paying taxes, the last thing I'd do is send them notice. And if you're working for somebody, there's no real easy way to stop it, because you're not going to get your employer to stop it, paying the taxes, and you're not going to get your money, and you're going to sue them, and they're going to destroy you unless you know what you're doing. And even if you know what you're doing, they're going to destroy you, maybe, you know. We've had a few successes, but they're very mild, minimum successes, in my opinion. And, I'm in two IRS cases right now in the courts for someone else. And very powerful, powerful cases. Maybe I'll share one of the papers with on a Monday night one night, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, they don't care about the law. They don't even obey their own law. They don't obey their own rules. They make up the law. They make up their rules as they go along. One of the games they play in the federal courts, and they play it in all the courts too, but I think you have more of a chance winning some of these things on state courts as long as it's not a federal issue, than you do on a federal level. Okay, so it's very difficult. One of the things that these judges do is a judge will make a bad decision in a case favorable to protecting the status quo. And there's lots of them, bad, bad decisions out there. And then you'll have a lawyer come into the court and move against you. A lot of these U.S. attorneys, they're well-schooled in these things. And they pull out, if you go up against the IRS, for instance, you're going to get a package about 2.5 inches thick. They're going to just bombard you with court cases, okay? And a lot of these court cases, it's not the United States Supreme Court case conclusions or anything of that nature. It's just regular case law that some judge just went off the farm and came up with this conclusion. And then you bring it into the court, and they call that common law. And I have watched them use those court cases to go up against the Constitution, to go up against the Bill of Rights, to go up against common law, and it wins against common law, against the Constitution. That's what we're up against in these courts. I do believe that every single federal judge needs to be removed from the bench as soon as we take this nation back. Every single one of them. They all should be sued, and I think most of them, if not all of them, should go to jail. It's that bad in the courts. The federal courts are that bad. So, very dangerous. We're very close to the IRS being closed down and, the Federal Reserve, all that stuff gone. That's not going to happen until after devolution. But we're that close. I wouldn't bother taking anything into courts right now. You want to go into court and make a fight and try to win. I think after devolution this will be your only chance to get justice. We the people have lost our common sense. We have a nation that has gone mad, literally. People are confused, and they shouldn't be confused. Common sense is common sense, period. There's nothing to talk about. It's clear as a bell. It's also called common law, because common law is just common sense. And yet people can't recognize it. They'll permit themselves to agree or go along with the insanity. But they're confused, and they've been shooting this confusion out of us for a long, long time. I'm so thankful I'm not in school. I haven't been in school during this time period, because the minds of our children are destroyed, being destroyed, and are destroyed. We've lost generations. It's going to take a lot to bring it back. At some point in time, these generations will be at the age and in the period and in the situation to take control of this country. So we have a lot of work to do. Should the world go that long, who knows? But anyway, I guess that's all I got to say about that. What else you got, Jan?
Okay, next question is long. Starts out, last Monday I asked a question about homeowners associations, HOAs. My impression of the answer was, if you belong to an HOA, you signed a contract and you need to honor it. My concern is that a contract must follow certain conditions to be a contract, and one of them is the contract must be legal. That is, the contract must not be repugnant to the Constitution. If it is, the contract is null and void back to its origin. Most HOAs have what they call rules, regulations, or codes that are really laws made by non-government agencies that govern our behavior. The HOA threatened homeowners with fines, liens, and foreclosure. I thought that we were innocent until proven guilty. Where is due process? I thought that there was no crime without an injured party. Who have I injured if I let my weeds grow or have a boat in my backyard? As I see it, many HOAs are flagrantly violating 18 U.S.C. 242, deprivation of rights under color of law, by making what they call rules, regulations, or codes controlling our behavior. And the HOA is flagrantly violating 18 U.S.C. 241N, conspiracy against rights. If I'm correct, then the homeowner now becomes the injured party and not the HOA, and the Gestapo neighbors that use the HOA to do their dirty work. If I do not have the authority to do something to my neighbor, I do not have the authority to delegate someone else to do it for me. That violates God's law, the principles declared in the Declaration of Independence. It is repugnant to the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. Remember, one of the planks to the Communist Manifest is to eliminate control of all private property. That is what most HOAs are doing. That is how the 501c3 tax-exempt status was used to close the churches down during COVID-19. Am I missing something here? Is my thought process wrong? Because no one seems to know or to get it.
Well, your thought process is wrong. And it's unfortunate. You look at, I would never in my life, in a million years, I would never buy a home that's controlled by a home association, homeowners association. There is some good news to this, but it's mostly bad and it's mostly controlled. Homeowners associations, you know, they'll have at least one lawyer, but probably maybe even a group of lawyers, who knows. And they were probably involved in the very beginning of the subdivision and getting involved in the legalities there and getting the subdivision approvals and working all the stuff. So they're very closely working with the developer, putting this together. There's money to be made in homeowner associations, on the other hand, so that becomes a problem. And any place where there's power, there's a problem, okay? You know, it's got some good ideas. You know, people come together and say, okay, you know, we got this little community here, and we want everyone to cut their grass. We want everyone to do that. And if they don't, well, what are we going to do? Well, this is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. So everything is laid out. You know, if they send you a fine, it's because you didn't cut your grass or something. Then, but you agreed to that. You know, one of the most important rights that man has is the right to contract. You know, and for nobody to get stick their nose into that contract. But it is true. There are some contracts that are unlawful. They're illegal. You know, the meeting of the minds is the most important thing. So when this whole thing begins, it's got to be the meeting of the minds. You can count on the fact that probably before the meeting of the minds of people are involved, before any, even the first home is sold, everything's already arranged, put together, contracted, and you go in and you buy the home and you sign the contract and you agree to it. But there's a homeowners association. And so if you have a good relationship with your neighbors and you start talking with them and you get some logic going and agree in certain areas and disagree in other areas, particularly in areas that you think is repugnant, then that's the only way you're going to beat it. You're not going to beat it with everything you said and laid out in court. You'll never win in 1,000 years. No one's even going to think about having to make the decision automatically. You haven't said one thing that could change the fact that you signed that contract. Now, again, meeting of the mind is important, and communicating with the individuals involved with that contract, which is the makeup of the whole association, which are the owners of that property, which supersedes the people who developed it, which supersedes the original put together by the lawyers. So again, the only thing you could do is change it. So if there's things in there that you're not happy with and you want to change, then you need to start talking to people and go to their meetings and put forth, you know, put forward good conversations and good conclusions on why, you know, this should be that way, and, you know, and so on, get a conversation going. But there is no other way. Let me think. The key thing, though, is meeting of the minds. How old? Yeah, the second. I don't know how old the Homeowners Association is, if it's brand new or what. I don't know of any other way to fix it. There could be some problems contractually that could be a problem, and I'd have to think about that, and of course you'd have to read the contract. But go ahead. What do you want to say, Jerome?
Well, in my experience, pardon me for my voice because I'm losing it, but when I was on the town board, I was fighting against zoning.
I thought you were RFK, but go ahead.
Yeah, I am. But what happened is the state turned around and put in a minimum maintenance standard. So if you don't have zoning in your town, the building inspector can enforce this myriad of codes that the state has written up. Now, they don't have to enforce them, but they can. And if you don't have zoning or an HOA, then it's up to the building inspector as he cherry picks what part of the law he's going to enforce. So in a certain sense today, it's almost better if you are in an HOA because you have a ability to set that contract in paper.
Well, there's a better way to beat that whole process, and I've done this before because I've run into different problems in areas where they wanted certain licensing of certain contractors, and then you have to get involved with the payola.
Well, they get trouble themselves because they start changing stuff, and they get a big opinion of themselves, and then they start putting in rules and regulations that you didn't get to vote for. So basically, that's not part of your contract. And like you said,
well, you're talking about through outside of the homeowners, though, right?
No, I'm talking about homeowners associations.
Oh, in the homeowners association. Everything that's not in the contract, they can't apply to you.
Yeah, but they vote a president, a vice president. They set up a little freaking pecking order in there.
And they still have to have a meeting, and they have to notify everybody.
Right, and you should have to. And if they're going to change it, you need to vote on it.
If the people don't show up for that meeting, that's their problem. And this is the problem we have in this country right now. People are not willing to step up and do what has to be done. They figure the next guy is going to do it. And I can tell you right now, the next guy's not doing it. So people got to step up and take care of the business. But you're right. They can make changes, and they may be sneaky about it. And
sometimes they don't even follow the protocols. They just do it because
they're... That's right. Well, that's a violation, and you could sue them on that.
Yeah, so you need to sit down. It's not so cut and dried like he made it. It's not just, oh, well, the Constitution says this. No, that's not.
You can't use that at all. You have a contract with super.
No. Look, if I join the service, I have to be where they tell me, when they tell me, how they tell me.
That's right.
I signed a contract. And I can't say, well, it's against my inalienable rights. I gave those up for this contract. And you can do that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely, yes. The contract supersedes the Constitution in the sense of the ownership of that property and how it is to be taken care of and what your requirements are and if you have to put so much money in to support certain things. Look, it's set up by lawyers. They even have a maintenance program going in there, too, in a lot of places. You know, they still have other areas.
The building code today is so egregious, it might as well be an HOA.
Well, again, there's a way to beat all this, okay? First of all, the engineering plans is the key to what you're going to build. And once that's approved, you tell, you know, you hire either the architect or the engineer, usually the architect. You hire the architect to oversee the site. If there's a lot of, you know, infrastructure, maybe then you want an engineer overseeing that part of the site. And you serve notice on to the town that the inspector need not come. You have certification by professionals taking care of it. We'll serve it accordingly as we move forward. You don't even have to have them come out to look at the beginning of your foundation, to look at the, you know, how you dug up, what the earth looks like before you even set your first, you know, concrete in there. The engineer or an architect could take care of this. I had these problems. I've been in construction for over 40 years, and I'm telling you, there are a lot of problems with building inspectors, but I learned how to get around them. It cost a few extra bucks on the one end, but you saved a whole bunch of money on the other end, because some of these contract. I mean, some of these building inspectors are way out of line. And, you know, thankfully, I'm not down in the city. I did do some work down in Westchester, and which is very close to the city, and Putnam County, which for both of them, very close to that. And I almost got arrested down there doing work because of the way they run things. They're out of control. And payola is part of the game. I always stayed north not to have to go deal with all that corruption. So that's another problem that you have.
Well, most HOAs don't have a lot of construction going on. What they do is they get you for not cutting your lawn or for this or that. It's petty, any little stuff. But they can do that with the building inspector because that maintenance code, it's in there. Your lawn can be no longer than 4 inches. It's in the state code, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, that can't be applied. Now, that with that argument that that guy's making, the things he brought up, that would be some weight in order to make your case. And I could make a case to win it. The point is, logic doesn't rule. Look at the word common sense is the key. Remember the book Common Sense? I think it was about 40 pages. I mean, this is what tied a country together, you know? Right, pain. And I've been thinking maybe I should write a book, maybe 10, 15, 20 pages on common sense, because I tell you, we've lost it. We've lost our common sense. People have got to step back up. It's easy to get it back. It's easy to recognize. Just get rid of all the BS in your mind and just look at things the way it is. It's that simple, you know? But that's the problem, and people let it go, you know? So, anyway, any final words before we move on?
No, that's it. It's just, it's a pain in the neck, you know, and it's not nice. And look, the only way the inspector can enforce anything is if you don't have a contract and you don't have zoning. Then if he thinks your lawn is too long, he can look at the state code and say, oh, yeah, I can cite him for lawn over 6 inches. Most of them don't do that because it's petty, but it can happen, and I've seen it happen.
Well, if you had a just court, you can win in court.
Yeah, so
I hear down in Louisiana they don't have any certain codes, and I don't know if they have any codes at all. Maybe I'm sure something on building, of course, but I mean, as far as you can build your house and have it, sided with beer cans.
I got this
pink and that glows at night, and nobody can say anything.
Wyndham, New York, Wyndham Mountain ski area.
Yep.
They have not had zoning this whole time. They're just putting it in now.
When I first went to business, a lot of places in Dutch, because I did a lot of work in Ulster County, and in Ulster County, and a lot of places in Ulster County didn't have any building inspectors.
Well,
that were just getting them, and I never even called them. I built anyway.
That's unbelievable in this day and age that you can have a town with no zoning codes.
It's strange that they still exist, you're right.
Yeah, but they do, apparently. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Jan, next.
No more questions, John. You're done.
It's okay. Okay, I guess we'll go right into the queue. Just a reminder, next week, I don't know what the subject is going to be, but we're going to have a meeting focusing in on committees of safety. And so we'll probably have a 15, 20-minute introductory on some subject. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it would be the school things. Because that is probably the most important thing to do. That and dealing with the sheriff. So maybe those will be the two things we'll talk about. And hopefully get some conversation on and some ideas and put people back on track with the things that they need to be doing. They need to be following the plan, okay? Free and independent, all committees of safety are free and independent, and they should remain so. But you have to structure yourself properly, and you have to have a proper education. And we all, because we have such an emergency in this country, we have to build quick, you know, build that committees of safety as quick as we can, as solid as we can, as educational as we can, with a sheriff on board if we can, or as we can do these things. Those are the things that first have to be done. And the plan really is working with the school to do that. We'll also be moving very quickly at some point in time, and we're not prepared for this either, but hopefully we can move quick enough with dealing with the administrators for the juries. We have quite a few people that signed up for that, but they don't seem to be responding either. We have only a handful of people responding, you know. But if they're not taking the courses, they're not going to take the position. The job's not open to people who are ignorant to what is necessary. It's a wrongdoing for us to try to help people to get into a position and be uneducated, unable to deal with that position, and just cause more chaos and more problems, and sometimes even worse. By the way, I see AFR with a hand up. If you want to get into the queue, I don't know what you're coming in as, if you're coming in on a phone or a... how do we get into the queue? How do you get into the queue on the phone? Anybody know?
I'm not sure.
Star 6-1?
Is it star 6-1? Yeah, I think it is star 6-1 to get into the queue. Yeah, if you're on a phone, star 6-1 to get into the queue. If you're on an app or a browser that you came into the browser, there should be a little button to get into the queue.
Hey, John, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Regarding the zoning, you and Gerard, do you think it'll be different on the other side of devolution? And here's my question. What if you've seen the news about food distribution plants where they process food and then food processing plants, and then they've taken out trains with the food distribution, so they've destroyed the distribution. They're trying to starve us to death to some extent, it
absolutely.
Seems.
Absolutely.
So let's say that you decide to combat this and you get chickens and goats and cows and you want a homestead and you need your grass in certain parts to be higher than 6 inches, and the zoning says you can't have chickens because you can't have roosters, and then it says you can't have your grass over 6 inches tall. So should you be fined out of your property because you're trying to feed your family?
On this side of devolution, we have a major problem because we have Nazis in charge. And these people are just out of control. It's all about power and money. But on the other side of devolution, as long as we get our courts back to common law, we win every day. All that is irrelevant. They can't tell you how to do what or anything on your property. Now, of course, you're not going to live in a community with 2 acres or something with beautiful front lawns and you're going to put goats and cows out there, that you're not going to be doing that, of course. People locally are probably going to give you a problem. Not that you couldn't, but you shouldn't anyway. But, again, on the other side of devolution, these problems won't exist. And, again, it doesn't matter if the law's on the books, you're beaten in court, in common law. And that's the key. And you need to understand how to get into a court under common law. And you need to do it without an attorney. You need a lawyer who's not a bar attorney. And you yourself maybe should be that, because who knows your case better than you?
I think
they're liars when they tell you only a fool will represent themselves. I think the other way. I think only a fool wouldn't represent themselves. Unless you're guilty of something, then you want to get someone else to talk for you. That's a different story. But other than that, only you know your case the best than anyone else. But, on the other side, I wouldn't worry about it at all. You'd win slam dunk.
I want to say something. You're not gonna raise goats and things like that unless you got land, because if you got a fly feed, you're not gonna get it.
Yeah.
So, but here's the other part of that: in the cities and in Argentina, when they had their collapse and all that, all these laws go out the window. They put gardens on their roofs, and they see. I think a lot of those food processing plants, there was a reason they burned down. We were thinking they're trying to starve us. I think they're trying to save us from all the crappy food they're putting out there.
Maybe.
And they're forcing us to go to the local guys and forcing us to do some truck farming ourselves in order to survive. So,
I heard this theory lately, and I do like the sound of it. I certainly hope it's true. I hope you're right.
Yeah, the multinational farms are terrible. They're using Roundup and everything. Glyphosate is in our systems. It's horrible. It's insidious. It causes all kinds of problems. And they don't even, and there's 100 and something other countries in the world that it's outlawed. Putin just said, don't bring glyphosate in here. He'll give you farmland and money to farm it if you promise to do organic. So he's ahead of the game, as much as if people that don't like him, he understands the issues. Just by the things that he says like that, that he's doing. So, We need to get on the stick. I mean, there's no reason you can't have a garden. Even in the cities, they got people fencing off empty lots and gardening in it. That's the beginning of our freedom right there. And so you should support that, and you should contribute to that, because it's gonna take its own life on, and they're not going to be able to stop it. They're going to come in and tell you you can't farm. Everybody's going to be there with a gun saying, you leave my tomatoes alone. You know? So I think it's going to work itself out.
All right, let's go on to our questions here. We've got a lot of people in the queue, so we'll take our first person here. It looks like Maria from Illinois.
Oh, you know it?
You got it. You're the guy.
There you
go. Oh?
Yes. Okay, so I'm reading the books. You know, I'm excess. Court access and the common law, and at the same time I try to read government by consent. So I just look what is easy for me to read first. So I read about the founding fathers in the government.
Yeah, that's probably the best book to read first.
Government by consent, so it helps me, you know, to understand the beginning of the court access and the common law. And I came to the page 33, U.S. title 18 is not the law of the land. Title 18 is a maritime and territorial jurisdiction.
Well, U.S. Title 13 is equity. And it is not the law of the land. You're absolutely right. They cannot apply it upon the people. So, but it is equity, and it's to be applied upon people who work for government agencies, and all applied against
the
18.
Themselves. Yes.
And also, it applies to interstate commercial activity. If you have commercial activity within a state and it's not interstate, then that belongs to the state. The state deals with regulating those individuals. But regulations is important. We're over-regulated, and we need a lot of fixing in a lot of places. Let me tell you, a lot of fixing in a lot of places. You know, I've seen just in you go into the little cities here in New York here, the smaller cities, not New York City, but like Poughkeepsie or Beekman, you have these all these laws that regulations that are controlling, construction, for instance, okay, and they're really off this planet, okay, so. Those things are problematic, and on the other side, we can argue those things. They can only have so much control. Regulations, they're over-regulated. You know, to get a building permit in one of these cities like Poughkeepsie or Newburgh or Kingston, just to get a building permit might take 2 years, or maybe even 3 years to get through. And that's going back a few years, because I've been retired for a while now. So, but it's problematic, you know. But anyway, 18 USC is equity for commercial and
mm-hmm. And I see that, you know, when I'm reading the book, I love the book. I see it's very well written. And I see how the fight is going all the time since the beginning of 1750. They taught, the civic law, yes, instead of common law.
Mm, yes.
So this is, you know, I see that this fight is all the time, you know, continue. And so the people have to wake up and read the books. Because, so we need to, they supposed to protect our unalienable rights, yes, our life and freedom. And
yes, in the preamble to the Constitution,
yes.
one of the six most important things that the government has, one of the most important is to secure the blessings of liberty. And that liberty falls under that. So, yes, your liberty.
So then they, with this all code and statute, they have to be very careful not to step on our freedom,
code
on our liberty.
codes and statutes do not apply to the people. Although they have been applying it to the people, that's how they created the civil law. You know, 18 USC is one of the major things that they use on the federal level to come out after the people, but it can't lawfully be applied upon the people because we didn't give them the authority. We ordained and established the Constitution with certain powers, and within the 18 powers that we gave to the legislators, it has nothing to do with writing any kind of a regulation or any kind of a code or any kind of a statute that controls we the people. So that's unlawful. But, you know, we're going to have to deal with that until we get to the other side of devolution. You know, there's a lot of fights we have to have, and we have to take it in the courts. Fight number one is to remove every federal judge on the bench. That's what my focus is, and to get rid of all bar attorneys and sue not only the federal judiciary, let's put it that way, suing the federal judiciary, but also the Bar Association. They need to cease and desist because they teach subversion. They teach the destruction of our Constitution, destruction of our way of life, the destruction of our republic in a total. So we have to deal with that. That's the first major battle we will be making on the other side of devolution.
Mm-hmm. You know, because what I wanted to say, you know, this is like a higher level for me. But the book is very good, so I'm learning from this. So I'm reading, and yesterday, Saturday, I think, 9 hours in continuously I was studying.
Well, anybody who's serious does exactly what you're doing. I mean, I my nose is in research all day long. From the moment I get up, and I usually quit after dinner. You know, when I eat dinner, I quit at that point. But sometimes I still come back and work in the evening too. If people are serious and if you have the time, get educated. Find out what it is you need to become educated in. That's the key. And there's a lot to learn here at National Liberty Alliance, and we've got a lot of different courses. But anyway, back to you, Maria.
Yes. I just wanted to say that, you know, I just studied 9 hours, and that it helped me, you know, with the books. I start to understand other parts now easily. So I see here, you know, I have the sometimes with language problem, but I'm finding the definition of the words under Google but I'm finding, you know, I am able to.
Right. Yeah. You could throw any word into Google, like you say, and you get the meaning, and that'll be helpful for the translation from, you know, language. What language do you normally speak? What's your first language?
Polish.
Okay, so, you know, moving from Polish to English will take some time. But look at, all this comes with, you know, with how much time you put into things, okay? You know, going through things over and over again is a necessity to master things. And sometimes I'm researching things and I hit something that I already know, and it's inside the research, and I'm reading other things. I still read the stuff I already know anyway, because it helps to, you know, kind of glue it into my brain and helps me to be able to really remember it and be able to articulate it. Repetition is key to education. And if you really are serious about the court access and the common law course book particularly, the best thing for you to do is to work things out through that first book, especially with your language. Because if you go through that book carefully and you look up the words, I think you'll really, you know, advance tremendously. And then at that point, you'll have a better chance to work through the next book, which is Court Access and the Common Law. And if you take the course, you'll find repetition through the course over and over, because you can listen to the audios and you can watch the videos over and over and over again. You know, again, you know, I've been working on lots of different tapes. I worked through the Federalist Papers, listened to that on audio a couple of times. I've listened to the Anti-Federalist Papers. And some other things that I've looked at, and a lot of Bible.
Oh, the videos, yes.
Well, I listen to the audios, but we have the videos and the
audios.
We have both, you know. But again, I'm driving in my car. I use that time to educate myself, you know. So anyway, that's the way to do it. Spending a lot of time into it, you can master it.
But I'm glad that, you know, I was able, you know, to catch this, you know, to see the difference, you know, common law, natural law, God, you know, Bible, you know, it helped me a lot now. And to see and I see, you know, how they deal, you know, to take away from us this freedom. And to the common law to destroy, and to destroy the courts, you know, it means courts of records, because they belong to us, yes.
Right, court of records.
And they want to destroy our liberty and our life at the same time. So we need to study and have the knowledge and know how to talk and how to spread the information about it with other people, you know. But I see that, as you said before, you know, I see a lot of people are walking like they are, you know, lost the common sense.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the dark cloud.
Right.
So, but... you know, but I'm glad. I'm glad I'm learning. So, and my son called me. You know, so it's okay. He was asking me what I am doing. So I told him about these books that I am reading, and I'm very fascinating with it. Fascinating, because I knew that the problem is in the law. That there is a mess in the law. We don't have the freedom. We don't have the liberty. Yes.
Right.
So, this book is a key.
And your liberty is in the common law. That's where your liberty is. Anybody who thinks, you know, that they know exactly, you know, how to protect their liberty or what their liberty really is, it's a lot more than you realize it. And the common law is a requirement in order to protect your liberty. So you have to understand and know the common law. And it was with that mindset that I wrote that book. Court access in the common law, but also you know, government by consent, because government by consent deals with a lot of different issues and problems and situations, mm-hmm. and lays out the law in there too, of course, because your liberty is in the law. That's where your liberty is. It's in the law, the common law.
Yeah. How do you reconstruct the law, yes, or, you know, make the law work, yes?
Mm-hmm.
To straighten up the law, the common law.
Right. All right. Well, we appreciate the call. We're going to move on to someone else. Do you have a final question or a comment or a thought?
No, thank you. I just wanted to say that the books are very good. Very good for me. I'm so happy that I got them.
All right. Appreciate that.
So I just want to tell Maria, what you think of as a language barrier is actually an asset, because you have to look up those words and you have to learn them.
Amen.
So you're going to learn better than the average English-speaking American. You're going to know it better than we do. So it actually pays off. But anyway, keep it up. Very good.
Yeah, that's a good point. Amen. All right, thanks, Maria. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It looks like LJ. You got the mic. Go right ahead, LJ. You're muted yourself, too, so you have to unmute yourself.
Good evening, John.
Oh, Asulu.
Hello? Yes.
Okay. You got the mic. I thought it was LJ.
Okay. Yes, I sent some question in, but I think I sent it in too late. So you remember I was asking about the common law. Is there any educational information or documentation that we can learn and, you know, about what the revocable common law living trust is all about?
Yes. I looked on the website. I couldn't find it. I devoted a page to that. Let me see if I can find it. Education starts here. I think I put it under let's see, courses, law, American history, law, court forms and procedure. I think I put it underneath. Access to the course, land patent here. Common law. Here it is, common law trust. Okay, so I put this is all new information I put up maybe a couple of weeks ago or whatever, not long after we spoke.
Okay.
Okay. So really great stuff. You should get highly educated in it before you create one. And there's a nice form that you can use after you've read through everything and understand what's going on. There's a nice form you can work and just build your common law trust right off that.
So that'll be on the on your site?
Yeah, it's underneath Education Starts Here. You come down, you highlight that, you come down to Law, that gets highlighted, and then you come down to Court Forms and Process, you click on that, and then it's a little bit down the page, not too far, and you'll see Common Law Trusts.
Okay. So there you have everything in there where we can how do we put business under and everything else that we need to put under there.
Yeah, you have enough information to deal with all kinds of revocable trusts.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. And there is a template there, so that's helpful.
Right.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, but you're good, Gerard?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's an irrevocable trust template. That's nice.
Yeah, but there's a couple in here. So go through everything, you'll find them.
So you have both the revocable and unrevocable. And
well, these are irrevocable trusts. I mean, irrevocable trust, I believe. I think you can go either way. I think the information will serve both. It's a matter of how you lay it up. So all that information is in here. It should be both in here. But you want a revocable trust.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So let me just click on that, the revocable trust.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. This is, a layout plan to go through to create and start the process. Okay.
Okay.
So, anyway, you got everything there for both, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll take our next caller. Thanks, Azuma. Kathy, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Kathy from Iowa, you got the mic. Kathy from Iowa? Last call for Kathy from Iowa. Okay. Anthony, West Virginia.
Virginia, Anthony here. John, how are you doing?
Good. And yourself, Anthony?
Doing good. I went to Louisiana last week. I was on the road. I missed last week's call. So here I am. I've been making calls to my COS people in Texas. I had one COS leader. He might be on the call here. He called me back, and we talked a little bit today. I'm finding with all the people I talk to, my focus is recruiting and recruiting people for COS. Mm-hmm. And there's so many other aspects of what National Liberty Alliance can do for people and is put together to help individuals with information about their personal lives. They're dealing with the courts and things like that. I think a lot of folks out there that know about that are finding it difficult to set some of that aside so they could focus on building their COS. And I think that we're going to need to at least what I'm trying to do is create that focus for the people I talk to. Mm-hmm. I get on the phone, and some people want to stay on the phone a long time talking about other things that have nothing to do with the COS.
Right. Yeah, that becomes.
And it's all important. I'm not saying it's not important. You know what I mean? But I'm just sharing you what I'm sharing with you what I'm dealing with, so that that you have an idea of what's going on. Because I'm out there doing it.
Well, I think part of the plan is to keep us so busy with trying to keep our head above water and fighting all their petty anti stuff they come after us with, that we don't do committees of safety.
You hit the nail on the head. Everybody's too busy working, just trying to keep their head above water financially. Their heart's in the right place, but they don't have time. But I'm looking for those people. There's going to be some that find the time, and I don't care how long it takes.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm going to see what we can do.
But even the lawfare that they hit us with, the traffic tickets, the zoning stuff and stuff, that all takes away from keeping your liberty. You know what I mean? Because you got to watch that. But anyway,
erasing junk mail from my email every day, you know, to keep it kind of clean anyway, you know.
Yeah,
all of that stuff.
The key to it is being personal on the grassroots level.
Exactly.
It takes a while to find one person. You know, once you find one person, you know, first of all, going through the process of finding that one person gives a lot of experience, and then you'll find the second person quicker. And then the first person you got the same way, and the second, and so on. Once you get a half a dozen to a dozen people, that's when you want to do a presentation, and you want to invite people from other groups within your county. You know, it could be Rod and Gun Club groups, it could be a Liberty group, it could be all kinds of different groups, okay? And that's when, after you got about a half a dozen to a dozen and you do your first meeting, you should probably end up with 15 or 20 or even more people, depending on how many people you get to come to that meeting, okay? And that's when growth will be seen. Meanwhile, once you have about six people, roughly speaking, you should be working on your paperwork. You can already start working on your paperwork with two or three people. It doesn't really matter, because you got to get all of your paperwork prepared so that you can, you know, deal with your sheriff. So you want to get your charter done, and you want to get your resolutions. And remember, you know, after you have your first real serious meeting with a lot of people, let's say, you can always open up a special meeting for, you know, adding to the charter and adding to your resolutions. You could do that any time, so it doesn't matter. But the point is once you get your paperwork together and you have at least a half a dozen to a dozen people, then you can make contact with your sheriff and start that process and get that going along. But you do want to have your first presentation. And, you know, if you're already connected with your sheriff and you're doing your first presentation, well, invite your sheriff and or his deputies there to that presentation, so that they can get the whole picture and see that too. You know, getting them
looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. I talked with Van of Burnett County in Texas. He might be on the phone call today. I don't know if he's getting in the queue or not. He asked me if we have any county committees of safety that have actually accomplished any of this stuff that we're saying we can accomplish. I think it's a slam dunk. We're going to be able to accomplish it when we get the numbers. But he's wondering if there's anything that if we have a history of any county actually taking their local community back.
We have some counties that have organized to go, and there's some of these counties. I know one county in particular was already organized, and then they turned over to our process, so they're organizing under our process now. So they've already had people, and they've got more people coming in, so they're growing pretty quickly. There's a couple out there that I'm aware of, maybe close to a half a dozen that I might be aware of. I've spoke to some people that are organizing and have quite a few people and moving towards the process. I'm trying to set something up where we can have direct contact with these people. That's why we're trying to do the monthly meetings. You know, once a month we have our Monday meeting. The first Monday of the month, our monthly meeting will be on some kind of a focus for the committees of safety. We'll talk about something that we all should be thinking and doing something about.
You know, we've broken everything up into districts, and we're trying to get direct contact with each one of these groups and on a regular basis, maybe every couple of weeks, give them a call, see how they're going, what's going on, where they're at, what they've accomplished, help them in any way we can, send them, lead them to different pieces of information that they might need on the website, that kind of stuff. But that's where we're failing, because we have to go professional to deal with this. I was... just recently I was listening to someone else talking about that. As a matter of fact, it was Colonel Douglas McGregor, okay? He's the CEO of this organization, Our County, Our Choice, and I just discovered him today. I'm trying to make contact with him or whoever's in charge there. Well, he's the CEO. Maybe I'll be able to get a hold of him. And definitely what he's doing, we want to support. But he spoke about what I'm mentioning right now, and we've mentioned before, you know, you can't run this kind of an organization at this level with volunteers. We have to go professional. So we are looking for money. That's the other thing we're doing. It's moving very slowly. But, you know, one day hopefully someone will step up and realize what we're doing that's got a lot of money, can say, hey, here's a couple of million, go get it. And, you know, if we had a million or two, in a year, we would be able to turn this country upside down and right side up again. There's no doubt about it, because the organization is here. The whole processes are here. Everything is pretty much written. We've got huge amounts of information, huge amounts of education. We have minimum education and maximum education and everything in between. People do as much education as they want, but there are certain things they need to know, certain things they need to do. Okay, and those absolute minimum requirements are in courses that don't even require you to be a premier member. You know, it's just totally free of charge to get it. But if you're a premier member, then you get to step up to a little bit of a higher education. That's only someone that's given $5 a month or more, so that's not a big deal. They're supporting what we're doing, and they get a better education. Then you have the people who want to a more serious education, be an advisor to the committees and to themselves and be able to deal with their own legal problems. And that's what the purpose of the book, Court Access and the Common Law, is for, and also the course that we put together, which I believe is a very powerful course. And then we have even a higher education than that to get into the great works, you know. So we have so much. As a matter of fact, if anybody wasn't at our meeting, our first meeting that we had with the Committees of Safety, you can go into today's issues, and you can click on, where is it? Is this NLA Monday Open Forum videos? Here it is. I think that's it. Monday Night Open Forum 213. No, that's something else. I'm under the wrong place. It should be under Committee of Safety. Start a Committee of Safety. National Monthly Meetings, okay? So our first meeting last Monday, well, about 3 weeks ago we had this meeting. Is on the 16th, okay? So if anybody wasn't at that meeting, strongly suggest you listen into this. We have it in audio and we have it in video. So we'll be posting them every week, every month that we do one, we'll post the next one above this and so on and so forth. So anyway.
Well, I've got 11 committees of safety in Texas. And I called every one of them. I talked to three people and left messages for everybody else. Hopefully, if I keep doing this, I'm going to get some feedback and we're going to start a movement. We're going to start actually getting people mobilized, because that's right. My goal, to do that. And you're absolutely right. It's a personal thing. I've been recruiting my friends. With a personal card, a personal letter, and my closest friends that I know are solid Christians, they're the ones that are interested, still can't get themselves started after almost 3 months of doing this, because they're so busy with their own business, just trying to keep their lives going. You know what I mean?
Everybody knows that.
I just think if we keep going, if we don't give up and keep doing a little bit of work, I mean, people could have an hour a month, an hour a week, and maybe an hour a day, some of them, maybe 8 hours a day, especially if you come up with some money.
Well,
people are going to want to trade their time for dollars, and then we'll have people that are actually doing this. But I think recruiting is the heart of what we're doing, and get them started so it's something that everybody can do the same way. It has to be a duplicatable effort. Like I heard you talking earlier, people are doing things that you don't suggest they do. And there's a reason why you don't suggest they do it. It doesn't work. It's not the right way to go about it. So we have to train people to have a duplicatable effort so we're all doing the same thing. And then I think we're going to be getting some results.
Well, absolutely. I appreciate that. You know, one of the things we're trying to do, we've been trying to do this for a while, we're trying to just get interviews. We used to get a lot of interviews, but then we kind of stopped from there. We didn't get that many, get that many interviews going. But we're trying to work on that now. And if we can get the interviews out to the right places, which will connect to other Liberty groups, because once it's out into the Liberty group movements, there's a lot of different podcasters out there. On a couple of them, you know, the other ones will want us too, and then we'll hit critical mass. And if we can hit critical mass, we can pull in a huge number. If the critical mass is, you know, 100,000 people and growing, you know. Once we get a message out to about 1 million people, then I think we'll pull in maybe 20, 30 really good people, 20,000, 30,000 really good people who are really rock solid and really driven to run this thing. Because you need a driven person. You need a person that has self-discipline.
Yes.
And those are the people that are going to drive it. Until you find a couple of them, it's going to be slow growing. But once you get the movers and the shakers, then you can get it going. And they got to be a true believer, of course. They got to realize there's a problem.
Right.
They got to be able to look at what we're doing and say, hey, this is the solution, and then get moving on it. But those people will do all those things and see that this plan is really rock solid. It's the only solution. Government by consent is the only way this nation can be saved. Only way. So.
There's one. You're exactly right. There's one other thing I'd like to talk to you about. There's this lady I ran across in Texas. You know her. Her name is Andromedia.
Andromedia, yep.
And and she was wondering, what's the name of the system that you use to have your groups? It's not Zoom. It has another name. What's the name of your system that you use for that instead of Zoom?
Start Meeting.
Yes, Start Meeting. You're using Start Meeting. She loves Start Meeting. She wants to know what you do to keep other people's names away from all of the viewers. How do you block the names out? She doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, when you open up, okay, and you go into the controls, right there, there's a button you push. Also, you know, we don't permit text chatting. I've been to a zillion places, and people are all over the place. They're not paying attention, you know? So no text chatting.
Uh-huh.
We're people who are paying attention to the conversation, get involved with the conversation, and get educated. When you have all this text chatting, you have a lot of distraction, a lot of things going on, people bringing up different issues, you have people doing this and that, and it's just problematic, and it doesn't really work well unless you're just socializing, and that's fine then, I guess. But, you know, we have a focus, and this is a good program for focus, I think. It's a good place to meet and have control over it.
So there's a button you push, and then you get a drop-down menu, and you click on something?
When you go in, whoever runs the meeting and starts the meeting, and you can give other people authority, but there's a place where you go in to set your meeting up, and you set it up how you want it. You don't want text chatting, you click the button. No text chatting. Same thing.
It's usually right in settings. That should be a settings.
Yeah. If you go through, there's a list of things. Let me see if I can real quick. Hang on a second.
I know what you mean. I don't know if I'm going to be able to share that and to get her to do it, but I'll tell her how to. I'll tell her what you do. I'll give her a copy of this audio.
Yeah, there's a meeting wall. Let's see. My profile settings, invoices, the logout. No, that's not there. Not sure. I have to look around. Maybe on the main app that opens up when you set things up, sign up on meetings. The account dashboard is probably here under account dashboard. That's where you probably make all the changes you want on how the meeting's going to go.
Okay, I'll let her know. Somehow she doesn't have that information, but we talked a long time. This lady's got so much going on right now.
And, you know, she could also go out, or anyone could go out probably to YouTube or maybe even Rumble and just put Stop Meeting, and you'll find people who probably will walk you through the whole process.
Well,
just on YouTube alone, you know?
I told her I would ask, so that's why I did it. So it's always great chatting with you, John. Pray that our organization just multiplies itself and that we can see the restoration of our Constitution. That's what I want to see. A revival, you know, just a revival, just like the 1800s revival Charles Finney was a part of. See something like that. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we just got to keep pushing towards the mark.
That's it.
Hey, by the way,
Good
Gerard, take the mic here. I know he wanted to share some stuff tonight. All right, Anthony, anything else before we
talk
move on?
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Yeah, move on.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Gerard, you want to take the mic? I think this is his bedtime. We'll move on. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Hi, you got your back, Gerard.
Yeah, I was talking to a muted mic.
All right, you want
to I don't know if I have enough time to go through all of it, but I can introduce it. People should be studying on their own anyway.
All right.
This gives a good perspective of where we're at.
All right, well, before you get started, let me just tell Ross we'll be back with you in a short. So keep yourself muted, and you're unmuted on our end, so we'll be back in a minute. Gerard,
yeah.
You got the mic. And by the way, for Anthony, right here on YouTube, Stop Meeting app, he has plenty of videos on it. So everything you want to know about Stop Meeting and was afraid to ask, you can find it. All right, back to you, Gerard.
All right, so I'm going to try to share a screen. Let me see how that is going to work for me. I don't usually...
You should be able to kick me off once you take it, I think.
Let's see, what do I want here?
Don't forget to hit that thing on the bottom that shares your sound over your computer.
Oh, yeah, share computer sound, I see that. All right.
You always got to click that all the time.
Let's see, there's this one. Okay, you should be seeing my screen now.
Okay, you kicked me off, you're on, you got it.
So, the first thing that led to this, I'm going to say, is SGNON put out his file 63, which I see is down off of Rumble now. So, if you didn't watch SGNON with file 63, you should go do it. Let's see, where was it here? About the state, the Israeli state losing its sovereignty, and they did that because they needed to take it down to get rid of even the Fed. But if they didn't do what they did to the state of Israel, they would have been the only state that was sovereign in the whole world, and that would be bad for us. So if you come to this is file 64, it's on Rumble. If you go into the 30-minute mark, he talks about the state of Israel losing its sovereignty, and it was over something that was signed in 1948, but it came to fruition this past month, or 2 days ago, 3 days, no, actually, I'm sorry, came to fruition 2 months ago. Nobody knew, and he talks about that. Maybe I'll even play some of that for you to listen to, because... it sounds unbelievable, but it's true, and it's part of the plan that Trump and the Patriots have worldwide to facilitate this new money coming in and the takedown of the cabal. Just listen to this for a minute. This is SGNON, and if you didn't hear this, you should go back and listen to the whole thing anyway. But I just want to give you a few minutes of what he says,
and you know, certainly in Saudi Arabia as well. So there's a number of things. Excuse me, that we have to iron out, but we have to appreciate that some of the heavy lifting has been done for us. and that the events that are now transpiring in the world are the necessary collapse of a system that has sort of been put into a self-destruct mode that it cannot get out of. The Balfour reversal and the redress of that particular grievance and the war crime that occurred when that declaration was actually implemented, and you patriots out there, you should go and look up how that process actually happened. I mean, it was very bloody and violent. That redress is here, I believe. I think it is at hand, and the state of Israel dissolution, if we will, for the public optic, for the worldwide history books, is coming and is imminent. This is a 1948 moment where there is going to be some sort of a process of recognition on the other side, but in its current form, the state of Israel is not going to exist any longer. And as a matter of fact, and I know that's an enormous statement to come out and make, and that's not at all a statement against the Jewish people. The Jewish people will continue to thrive and grow, as well, I believe, the Palestinian Arabs and just the general conglomeration of we the people in that area of the world. This is not the end by any means, but it certainly is the end of a corporate infrastructure, a government, a Western central bank government that is not legitimate and that has terrorized we the people Israelis and we the people Palestinians going back really since the mid-1950s and early 1960s. But I want to highlight that the reason I believe that this is going to occur is because it is my belief, Anons, that this process has already occurred. If we come over to the search engine known as Google and we type in these letters, OE027515, and we hit search, what comes up is a company with a registered company number by that number titled the State of Israel, all capitalized. This company is registered in Companies House in London at 2 Palace Green, London, United Kingdom, W84KB. This entity was registered on the 23rd of February of 2023, just earlier this year, incorporated in Israel under governing Israeli law, but the correspondence address is in London, the United Kingdom. If you come over to current officers, the current officers are not listed on this particular company, but the beneficial owner is identified as the Knesset. In other words, who benefits from the actions of the company's board and the company's officers? That would be the Knesset, and the Knesset's address is listed here in Ben-Gurion, Jerusalem, Israel. And what's amazing is this body, the Knesset body, was notified that they would benefit from this arrangement on this date, 14 April, 1948. So what we have here, Anons, this year is the full actualization, the full manifestation in real physical world form of the State of Israel's dissolution, the dissolution of the sovereign body that was the deep state stronghold of the Israeli government. It has now been brought underneath the central bank companies house economic collapsing system and will now be part of that collapse, whereas prior to that incorporation, we could have collapsed all of NATO, all of the Western Central Bank model, and the Israeli government and economy would not have been affected. And that was purposeful and by design. So forcing them into the collapsing worldwide Western Central Bank model, bringing them into the company's house, taking away the sovereignty of the Israeli government in the same fashion that the sovereignty of the United States was usurped in the Act of 1871, now makes them subservient and at the mercy to whatever occurs with the Federal Reserve dollar note, whatever occurs with the NATO central bank-backed West, and whatever occurs with those economic and industrial systems, right? The State of Israel is now going to be absorbed into that collapsing process. Now, why is that significant? Because 7 months later, or excuse me, 8 months later, not even 8 months later, really 7 months later and a handful of days, we have the launch of these hostilities in Gaza. And what is occurring? The Israeli Defense Force is beginning to prepare a ground invasion into Gaza that has no serious objective. It doesn't really stand to benefit Israel other than to, you know, ethnically cleanse the territory and destroy everything there. But it provokes a much larger worldwide response from the entire Arab nation. All of the Iranian-associated interest groups in all of the countrysides throughout the Middle East have discussed that that is their red line. The Houthi rebels in Yemen have already began firing rockets headed in the direction towards Israel for what they believe to be provocation.
Anyway, he's going to go through that stuff and show you why that's going to be World War III. That it can only mean World War III if we allow it to go, because if Iran gets in it, then Russia's going to get in it, and Turkey, and forget about it. That's a domino effect to nuclear war. But anyway, here's this aerial guy, Status of the Republic. He says, when you're in bankruptcy as a corporate entity, you do not have any contract rights. So who's in bankruptcy? Buckingham Palace, the Vatican, Washington, D.C., City of London, State of Israel. So look at everything that's going on. It's pantomime. They have no authority. All these corporate bodies filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The Act of England, 1871, was repealed. Trump did that when he got elected. The Second Judiciary Act of 1869 is no longer active. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act, IEEPA, gives the president the power to impose economic sanctions on foreign countries and individuals in response to a national emergency. So when Trump was in, he put these executive orders in. Strangely enough, Biden has renewed every one of them. You think they're not in control? You know, this executive order 13, 138-18, 138-48, 139-59. These executive orders allow the U.S. to seize the assets of corporate entities and persons for human rights abuse and election interference. You can take their stocks, their shares, their trades, their bank accounts, their businesses, their home, investment, their company, etc., etc. All assets. Did you know that Evergreen Incorporated is a CIA-owned company? What's the CIA doing owning a company anyway? Who uses that for human trafficking? Hillary Clinton. Guess what is contracted with Evergreen? The Vatican, the United States, the City of Rome, the UN Corporation, the Holy See, UK Incorporated. This is key. That's an important one. All subcontracted. Each step of subcontracting process. So for each step of the subcontracting process, the accountability of each subcontractor diminishes relative to the actual contract. And what do you got? You've got Evergreen Incorporated, owned and operated by Evergreen LLC, which is owned and operated by Evergreen PLC. It's got 4,500 employees. No obligations to file flight plans. Hint, hint. You have a totally unaccountable self-interest for profit corporation abusing the powers of government. All of this as the result of the executive orders are null and void. This is why they're hurting. This is why they have no money, and this is why they're dangerous. This is why they attack Israel. This is why, because they need to start World War III, because their military-industrial complex is suffering. They no longer have Ukraine to launder money, which that's all that was a big money laundering pit. Look, all our politicians went to Ukraine during an active war. When did that ever happen? Hillary Clinton, Schiff, all of them went over there in the middle of a war. I wouldn't do that, would you? Because they wanted to make sure that their interests were protected and that the evidence that they were over there with biolabs and kickbacks and everything else was taken care of. Do you remember when the 1871 Corp Act was dissolved on May 4th, 2020? It was, but you missed it, didn't you? Do you remember the months after the New Republic with the original Constitution was invoked on July 4th, 2020, when Donald Trump visited Mount Rushmore? That was signed. I watched that thing, and that's what he was doing there. But do you remember the Balfour Declaration? Palestine was under UK rule on November 2nd, 1917, when Foreign Minister Arthur Balfour wrote to Lord Rothschild, the leader of the British Jewish community. Now, don't forget, our banking system is controlled mostly by Israel, the Jews, or at least those people that call themselves Jews. Palestinians made up to 90% of the population in 1917. They blamed the declaration for encouraging Zionists and ultimately handing their land over to the Jewish homeland, the future of Israel, by 1947. Remember, the state of Israel was created by the Khazarians. As a result of the EOs, Israel became bankrupt. what happens as a result. War, which is going on between Palestine and Israel, correct? For what? Land acquisition. Why? Because the Kassarians were kicked out of Ukraine by Putin. The assets of ex-president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, were frozen. It cut a lifeline of drugs, arms, and human trafficking money essential to the survival of Washington. All this big war game they're showing you, and so many tanks destroyed, all this, it's all bullcrap. It's all smoke and mirrors. And they said, we're winning, and then what happened? All of a sudden, they were beat, and Putin was being very, very careful. He could have won in there, and he could have won that war in about 3 weeks, hands down. But he was being careful not to kill the innocent population. So he actually was the picture of patience, I'm going to say. Anyway, do you see how this connects to the current conflict? The Kassarian Mafia money laundering base is Ukraine. The last country that the Kassarian Mafia has is Israel. Remember who established Israel? The Rothschilds. Donald Trump is the first leader to have broken that control and removed them from power in the USA by taking control of the Fed. You guys got to know this stuff. This is what's going on. This is what it's all about behind the scenes. And you're supposed to be educated. This is why you need to study this stuff. This is why the attacks on him are so vicious and relentless. They come from all sides, political, media, military, sports, and etc. Since the USA was always the Rothschild's strongest territory to control the rest of the world with his powerful army, these global criminals have pulled out all the stops to overturn a duly elected president. They have activated and unleashed all their assets to achieve this. And John was talking something about that. That's what all these military-age men coming across the border is about. And
hey, John.
Yeah.
Would you like me to read this and just interrupt me whenever you want?
Yeah, go ahead, before I lose my voice. I'm probably killing you here with my voice.
Donald Trump is the only world leader who has defeated the Rothschilds by hijacking their central bank in the USA. This happened quietly during March 2020 and without any media coverage, because the media is owned by the same Rothschild banking empire. The Fed Reserve is now under the U.S. Treasury, which is why the printing press no longer pumps out endless fiat U.S. dollars, which was used to suppress the Middle East through the petrodollar. Iraq, by January 1st, 2024, will no longer use the U.S. dollar in everyday commerce unless you are a traveler who needs it for international flights. I told you all the first domino has not fallen yet publicly. A month ago, Mike Johnson, now Secretary of the House, stated that Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, that the sole power of impeachment belongs to the Republican House of Representatives. And Article 2, Section 4 states, the president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of the following: treason, bribery. It doesn't say money laundering, but it says other felonies, actually, in the Constitution, and for high crimes and misdemeanors. Or other high crimes, there he adds it. Americans now know from investigations launched by the House Committee that through domestic and international business dealings ran illegally, that the Joe Biden administration is now liable for crimes against humanity. And please feel free to jump in at any time. Do you all see how they were setting the scene for the general public, who have no clue of the DOD, the Department of Defense Law of War Manual, or the continuity of government, Judge Advocate General, or even the Brunson case? Because, as I said the other day, everything that is happening publicly is a result of what already happened privately. Do you all find it peculiar that after Clarence Thomas accepted the 11th Circuit emergency writ for the 2020-2022 election fraud case 24 hours before the new Secretary of the House was chosen? Timing. We are in a transition period away from the 1871 Corporation Act, which I think is the Organic Act, isn't that something? Yep. Removing Joe Biden is basically removing the U.S. from Kazarian Rothschild control of our country. The DOD, Department of Defense, has already established a presidential transitional order that became effective on February 3, 2023. People seem to have forgotten about the GGMF, the Global Gold Mutual Fund, who are creating a gold standard for the Philippines with invitations for other countries to come on board by January the 20th, 2024. Who is supposed to have an international currency backed by gold by January 1st? Iraq. Who are the BRICS waiting to reinstate their currency on the Forex market? Iraq. America has billions of IQD. Now, I'm not sure what IQD stands for.
I think that's the Iraqi. I think that's the Iraqi dollar. They expect them to go way, way up, and they're going to. But go ahead.
I think it's the Iraqi quantum dinar or something like that.
Yeah, right. That's their
currency.
Yeah. Okay. That's the quantum system that they're putting in. Go ahead.
Which, once the IQD rate is released on the international trade markets, they will liquidate countries around the world who will overnight have trillions worth of IQD once it is converted into their domestic national currency, which will help build their new republic. For those who have been asking why the IQD is so important, this will usher in the, quote, the golden age, unquote, for next century and beyond, which is why last week Kevin McCarthy mentioned for the first time publicly that we are under continuity of government, which is COG.
And by the way, let me stop you a minute. Jan Halper, who sits on a board on the Pentagon, I forget what it's called, she has come out and stated, now she has a very high security clearance, and she has to be careful what she says in public. But she has confirmed on more than one occasion that Donald Trump is the commander in chief and come right out and said it. So
wow.
It's happening right now. The fact that she would say something like that, a woman in her position, this is amazing stuff. And you know, the news is not going to talk to you about it. This war will not be televised. World War III will not come into your living room until after it's over. Because they have full control of the media, which we have to get back. How many of you here tonight knew that Acapulco is completely razed and not a stone on a stone from hurricanes, Category 5, that all of a sudden popped out of nowhere and there was no rain, just high, high winds that tore everything apart? Did you hear anything about it on the news? It's already a week. And they got no food, no medicine, just like Hawaii, only 10 times worse. But if they're not talking about it, if they can keep something like that hidden, and I believe it was weather wars, I believe that they've never seen. First of all, Acapulco never gets hurricanes because of its position. It the hurricanes may start there as tropical depressions, and then they move up to the north, and then they become hurricanes. But for a hurricane to hit Acapulco, it's only happened, I think, only one other time in recorded history. You know, and I gotta, you know, there's certain things that the weather does that's patterns that don't get broken, unless something seriously wrong. I got a buddy that has land in the Florida Keys, and he's out about as far as you can get on the Keys. And he has never, ever been hit with a hurricane or storm surge. He's rode them out, because what happens is, as the hurricanes, they're tropical depressions, and as they come past the Keys, they got to move right or left of the Florida Panhandle. So what happens is, they never strike directly on the Florida Panhandle because they're building. And then when they get to Florida, they veer off to the right or left, either come into the Gulf or they go up the East Coast, the Atlantic. So this is similar to that. Anyway, let's get this article done. There's a lot of stuff going on. You got to keep your head on a swivel. This is happening. What we're all worried about, You know, they got us distracted with all kinds of crap. The whole Speaker of the House thing was just a show to buy time. You see what they said about timing back here when McCarthy, you know, said that we're under cog and all this. Look, this has all been scripted out from Trump's last run. They knew exactly what they were going to do while Biden was in here screwing things up.
Well, we also accelerated their plan because Trump got in instead of Hillary. Where did you want me to pick it up? You went a little far. The military. The military was founded first in our nation. This means they are over every branch of government, including the president. I don't think that's an agreement with our Constitution.
What's his name saying that?
That's Ariel, and I don't agree with that, and I don't think it's right. Yeah.
Well, we have evidence that that's not necessarily true.
Okay, another thing I just...
country, we're a republic, but go ahead.
Another thing is I received a text message here, DM, and Stoley was telling me Acapulco was slated to be one of the first 15-minute cities.
And the other thing is look at now that they've went after their corporations and their money and their accounts. They want Hawaii and they want Acapulco. These are their golden child, so to speak. So they're out there and they're just grabbing. They're crazy. They're gonna, you know, if they can't have it, nobody's gonna have it. The whole idea is to take over this and, like you said, put their 15-minute cities in. This is where they were gonna rule the world from. Hawaii, yep. Acapulco, all these tropical paradises.
Oh, nice places, yeah.
And the rest of us be slaves to the New World Order.
And shovel snow.
That's right.
The United States Supreme Court, first time in history, clarified this in the Military Justice Act of 2016, that above there, that the military was founded first in our nation. I'm not aware of that.
That's absurd. It's wrong, and it's just crazy wrong. One of the grievances in the Declaration is the king is trying to make the military power superior to the silver power. That's one of the grievances. Okay, that tells you all you need to know right there. But you'll find it in the ratification debates. You'll find it in the Federalists and Anti-Federalists. The civil power is always supposed to be superior to the military. That's our law. So this whole idea is ridiculous and it's absurd. But hey, if they want to take something meant for evil and use it for good, by all means, if that's something that FDR did, Derrick Johnson says FDR did it, so we're going to do it, that's fine. But it goes against our fundamental law. Gerard, I think you know that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Though it didn't pass until they went under continuity of government in 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, and I haven't looked at that. That's a big one. The Military Justice Act clarifies three things. The military law supersedes civilian. Maybe that was, I'll leave it to you guys.
Listen, I was going to say, you know, when they asked Trump to run, it was during the Obama administration, and they told him we're ready to go in and arrest him because he's treasonous and he's ruining the country. But if you'll run for president, because the president is the highest civilian representative of the government, so they wanted to make sure that they had a constitutional president, and that's why they talked Trump into running. So that kind of kills the rest of this. Why would they need a regular person to stand in place to represent we the people if they're above us? You know what I'm saying?
The only thing I can think of is cover when people think that Trump is not the president, even though he is.
Right.
President and commander-in-chief are separate, maybe kind of what we have right now.
Yeah.
Article 2 of the Constitution, commander-in-chief is separate from Article 3, federal government. Don't know what he's trying to say there. Our founders established a military first, the Army, the Navy, and Marines, long before Declaration of Independence. I don't think so.
No, that's maybe wrong, too. And John uses an example when he's discussing the committees of safety about how it was the militia who said, hey, we got a militia here. I think it was 1692. And they said, this is not right. This is another example that John cites in, again, in his Committee of Safety Handbook. He says, the historical reference says, hey, the militia said, look, we can't do this because we cannot be superior to the civil authority, so we must make the Committee of Safety to be superior to us. So there's another example for you right there.
Well, isn't it? The Army, Navy, and Marines might have been established before the Declaration of Independence. That doesn't matter. This country was still here 400 years before we settled it as America. In other words, it was under England. It was at least 200 years. We had higher institutions of learning and everything else. We didn't just become a country in 1776. There was already, you know, a lot of people here for hundreds of years. So I'm telling you, some of these things, like the Army, Navy, and Marines, might have been here before, but who cares? What difference does it make? When that Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence went in, it was from that point on. Now, I don't know, Derek Johnson seems to be pushing a lot of this stuff too, and he's pretty good with the law of war and all that. So this is something that we'll have to flush out. But if you read on further, he says, we have been in a peaceful transition of power since 2020.
This is what Donald Trump meant when he stated that he put the government on pause. All of this is under transition now, with gold no longer being suppressed and over 200 countries dumping the U.S. dollar. We are now ready for the initiation of the new republic. Do you remember when the razor wire line fence that had drawn a circle around the Capitol's Supreme Court and federal office buildings? This was the U.S. military deeming it foreign occupied territories, in a sense. It was under the District of Columbia. That municipal government is plenary oligarchy run by the members of Congress, and it conveniently fails to say which Congress. There are four Congresses possible. First, there's the Continental Congress, which is a Congress of our states attended by state deputies. Second, there's the Congress of the Federal Republic, which is supposed to be operated by our long-defunct Confederation of States. Third, there's the U.S. Congress composed of representatives from the foreign-born territorial state of state organizations that have been illegally and immorally commandeering our actual American government since the 1860s. Fourth, there's the municipal U.S. Congress composed of franchise operators of the municipal United States, the aforementioned municipal plenary oligarchy. Since the municipality of Washington, D.C. is an independent international city-state squatting on our shores, and its government is a plenary oligarchy run by the members of some unidentified Congress, we were left with a gang of international criminals operating pirate base on our East Coast. This is coming to an end.
And that is true. Washington, D.C. is not part of America.
Because what is coming up on October 31st, that's tomorrow, the expiration of the State of Israel. Remember, if the Rothschilds control both the Federal Reserve and Israel, and both are bankrupt, where does that leave U.S. congressional members who have dual citizenship? Powerless. Do you think the new Speaker of the House knows this? Absolutely. Why do you think he announced that he is putting a bill together for Israel instead of a budget? I told you the difference between the two yesterday. The new government program will not be for the current status of Israeli government. The parliament has already resigned. What's next? Stock market crash? Joe Biden impeachment? Gold standard return? Iraq IQD exchange rate? The New Republic, and liberation and justice. Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are basically the same person. Remember when Donald Trump stated last month that we can take our country back before the primaries. 25 plus states already have bills prepared to return to the gold standard. We have nothing to worry about because everything is officially in writing. You heard it from Kevin McCarthy. You heard it from Mike Johnson. You heard it from Jan Halper. You heard it from Donald Trump. You heard it from the military. What more confirmation do you need? I need a lot more, but that's okay. Do you know how many banks are closing due to the fact that they are not Basel III compliant? Now, I didn't know what Basel III compliant was. I didn't bother to look it up either.
Well, that's what's going to be required of the banks to go on the new gold standard. And if they're not Basel III compliant with the new computer system, they're going to close them.
These are the only banks where people have difficulty accessing their funds, thanks to the Dodd-Frank Act. Boy, I want to get rid of that one. It basically made it legal for banks to confiscate your money without any explanation as to why your money is missing hundreds to thousands of dollars, which is why it is important to ask certain questions before you open a new account with any bank. Are they Basel III compliant? Are they ISO 20022 compliant? Are they Protocol 20 compliant? Stay tuned for more.
Well, it sounds like that's going to be kind of a war there going on, that these banks, right? In other words, the ones that are controlling the banking now that are going broke, they must have their hooks in, and they must have banks that they're refusing to do this with. So they're going to end up having to go out of business, I guess, but it seems like they're going to just keep accepting money from the uneducated people, and you're going to lose your money because... Look, they're desperate right now. They don't care where they get it from. That's what's going on. Because they don't have all their old funding, all their trafficking and their drugs and you know, organ harvesting. And that's all been put to pretty much an end. So they're suffering. Because, I mean, who can imagine that human trafficking takes in more money than the drug trade and the whole world? You see, picture of Pablo Escobar lighting a cigar with $100 bills, and human trafficking makes more money than that. That's disgusting.
Anyway. Stoli just sent me a thing about what is a Basel III. A Basel III is an international regulatory record that introduced a set of reforms designed to mitigate risk within the international banking sector by requiring banks to maintain certain leverage ratios.
And during COVID, they were only required to have zero.
And keep certain levels of reserve capital.
Up to 20%. They're supposed to be 20%, and they're not. And this is going to be a struggle. We're going to suffer with this, too, because our inflation is going to be horrible.
A lot of Basel, a lot of banks, their reserved currency, or their reserved, now I can't remember the other word, their fractional reserve was down around 7 or 8%. And so they could have runs. But if this requires them to have some reserve capital on hand, higher than that.
Yeah, 20%, but they let them go for COVID to zero, and they don't have it now. How are they going to get back up to 20%? We're going into stagflation. I don't know how they plan on doing this. It's very touchy and nerve-wracking if you really look at everything. But nevertheless, you gotta kind of watch, and it's going down right in front of you, and they're not talking about it. You know, you're not going to see this. It'll come out more and more, but right now, nobody's telling you these things. Oh, yeah, there's Jim Rickards and some of these other people that are good investment advisors, but if you're not listening to them, then you have no idea of what's going on with any of this stuff.
True enough.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to get into the other one. This was another article by the same person. Talks about where Trump said Israel, or Q said actually, but Trump too, Israel will be last. And what did that Q job mean? It's all a contract. Israel was created by the Kassarian Rothschild Mafia banksters in 1948, but their contract as an independent sovereign nation expires at the end of October 2023, the day after the eclipse. No coincidence. Oh, they love signs and symbols. They are registered as a corporation, and the address is next to Kensington Palace. That means the timing of the war is completely planned strategically to coincide with the time that they could be dissolved with the rest of the central bankers and all the other bankrupt corporations. So that finally clears up the meaning, Israel will be last. They had to wait. Israel's contract was dissolved, transferring Israel from a sovereign state back to a corporation before the White Hat special forces could invade and have full capitulation of the Israeli leaders that were not implicated in human trafficking or crimes against humanity, because they're all going to be hung. Same as what happened in Washington, D.C., when the U.S. Army fenced off the entire government district with metal fencing. And, you know, they closed the Fed over there. There's nobody been in the Fed. The building is like ghost town. Anyway, interesting stuff. I just wanted to get it out there and just to wet your palate, so to speak, and know that there's things running behind things, and that just because the news is saying one thing, it's actually, the mainstream media, you can almost do the opposite of what they're saying. So I thought that was interesting.
Hey, Gerard, for you and Terry, a quick one from Virginia ratification debates. Okay, you know, Virginia, of course, had some of our greatest founding fathers, Jefferson, Madison. Of course, Madison wrote almost all of the Constitution. Here it goes. 17th, that the people have a right to keep and bear arms, that a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state, that standing armies in time of peace are dangerous to liberty and therefore ought to be avoided as far as the circumstances and protection of the community will admit, and that, in all cases, the military should be under strict subordination to and governed by the civil power. And I yield.
There you go. And that's the whole reason they asked Trump to run. So I don't know that whole thing there that the military's above. You know, the only time that you could even go there, maybe, is if we're under martial law. Because under martial law, certain parts of the Constitution are suspended. So you get a quick trial. I think habeas corpus is suspended in martial law. I don't know. John and I were talking about that. So, you know, but under martial law, there's always speedy trial. They won't be able, like, if they put this through regular courts, you'd never get done. You'd never get, besides the fact that they own all the judges and prosecutors, you can't do it. So if we're going to prosecute anybody with this whole baloney, what they did with the COVID shot, what they've done with the money, what, you know, all the money laundering and everything, it's going to have to be military tribunal because it's going to take too long.
Agreed. It's so far gone. The civil power can't do it. It's too corrupted. And like I said, if they want to take something, just as the Bible says, meant for evil and use it for good, by all means, amen.
Well, I predict you're going to see public hangings, okay, because people are that pissed. So many people have lost their loved ones with all the baloney that was designed to do what it did for profit, and they got to pay. Anybody that's done human rights violation or anything like that, there is no forgiveness for them. You know? It's just evil beyond evil. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think Amen. With that, we're over time. We can shut down. I don't know who we left in the queue, but we'll get you next week. My voice isn't going to last much longer. Okay, let me stop screen sharing here. How do I stop it? No. Huh. Oh, dear.